Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and two pigeons were just stooping and watching me get ready to do the best of the Joe Show. They're getting some free action right now. I'm going to take a picture of that and put it up my Instagram and Twitter. Hit me up at Dan Day Radio. Want to learn more about me? Well, just hang tight a little bit. Hawk and Crowder are going to get into a little get to know you. Here's a taste.
I once followed Rihanna on tour for two straight weeks.
That's going to be some fun. Also going to get into the Joe Rose Show, talking with former Dolphin quarterback John Beck, and the Dan Le Batard Show on the whole Spike Lee situation. But right now, let's do some headlines. The Heat are home tonight against Orlando. Tips at 7:30. I will not make it for tip, but once I get off of here, I am going to run down to there. So be on the lookout for me at the Heat game tonight. The Canes baseball team put their four-game win streak on the line tonight at FAU, while the basketball team are at home against defending national champions Virginia. Tip is at 9. Marlins catcher Jorge Alfaro has been cleared to work out. The Marlins team A lost to the Orioles 5-3 earlier today, while the Marlins team B defeated the Astros 2-1. The Panthers look to end a three-game losing streak tomorrow night at home when they take on the Eastern Conference leading Bruins. Puck drops at 7. Listen to it here on 560 The Joe. Inter Miami's away match with Toronto FC on May 30th has been moved back a day. A reason for the move has not been given. Inter plays at DC United 3:30 Saturday. Zion Williamson became the first teenager to score 20-plus points in 12 straight games last night, scoring 25 in a Pelicans loss to the T-Wolves. New Orleans plays Miami in the Big Easy this coming Friday. And now we take a step into the day spa. An 8-year-old boy recently won $200 worth of cannabis at a raffle held by a youth hockey league in Canada. Oh, Canada! A super clingy cat named Ziggy in Great Britain won't stop trying to sit on her owner's laps, so they created a fake warm lap for the cat to sit. Yeah, they have nothing better to do. Good. The city of Santa Fe, New Mexico's website has put an accent mark over the wrong letter on the city's seal. Tax dollars well spent. A transgender man recently went to the hospital to have both a hysterectomy and a metoidoplasty, meaning he would have removed his uterus and added a male part to his body, but doctors took it a step further and completely removed all of his female parts. A week later, the man noticed what had happened, complained, and now both doctors are suspended. I'm confused. Five have died and 13 hospitalized after an African priest asked them to drink rat poison to prove their faith and the strength of God over death. Jim Jones, anyone? Now on the weather, brought to you by Hylia Park. Tonight's forecast, cloudy with temperatures in the mid-70s. Win $25,000 cash at Hylia Park Casino. Get free entries every Saturday and earn more entries playing slots every day now through March 21st. Grand prize $25,000 giveaway Saturday, March 21st. Visit HyliaPark.com for details. In the morning, it's all about the Joe Rose Show. Earlier today, they caught up with John Beck talking about Dolphins drama, 3D QB, assessing Justin Herbert, and his time playing for Cam Cameron.
With the 40th pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select quarterback from BYU, John Beck. John, that brings back some memories, huh? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it brings back some interesting memories. It was a special day to get drafted, but, man, there was a rough year in 2007 for the Dolphins.
John, great to have you, man. So fired up to find out that you're actually working with Justin Herbert and we're seeing at the combine and everything else. But before we get to all that stuff, I got to tell you, as we look back through a couple of rough years, and I mean more than just a couple, and you were there for that Cam Cameron 1-15 year. What was that like with Joey Porter, Jason Taylor, and the rest of those guys going through some of that drama behind the scenes? What was that like?
Well, you don't fully understand or comprehend what it truly was until I had spent more time in the NFL, because I didn't know what the NFL was, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm drafted, I'm a rookie. To me, that was my NFL experience, and I knew that, you know, we had our struggles as a team, I knew there was issues, but it really truly wasn't until I played out the rest of my career and then looking back kind of said, wow, man, that was a lot.
Welcome to the NFL, hey, right, John?
That's hey, hey, John, before, yeah. Before we get going, that special meeting when Cam had everybody and Joey Porter stood up, what was that like when you're in there and just pretty much let the guy have it for what he thought about him? I mean, I can't even imagine.
You know, again, that's one of those things. I mean, I just remember sitting there and Trent Green next to me, he put his hands in his face and he said, I didn't think it could get any worse, but it just did.
John, you're good, man. Wow. That's good stuff. Wow. Listen, a lot of stuff going on, and boy, I'll tell you what, this quarterback stuff, John, is getting high tech for high school and college guys with these coaches, but this thing, this 3D QB thing that a lot of guys that you're part of now, a lot of really good quarterbacks are using it. Just talk about it before we get into Justin Herbert. What makes it so unique that so many guys are going to Southern California to use it?
Well, I think the easiest way is to probably have it be similar to golf and how people analyze their golf swing. People say, why would a Drew Brees, why would a Matt Ryan, a Matt Stafford, why would these guys that are already so good, why would they hire a coach? And that's when I say, it's like golf. Why do the top golf players in the world have swing coaches or golf coaches? It's because they're chasing those extra little fine-tuned percentage points. And there's a lot that goes into it. It's their feet. It's their body positioning. It's their movements. It's creating new patterns. It's understanding what patterns of movements work best for them. You know, there used to be this philosophy in football of, all right, this is what you have to do now that you're in my offense. But now it's, all right, what does that quarterback do best, and what positions does he need to put his body in so that he can perform at his best? Because, you know, if you look at it nowadays, these quarterbacks are being paid astronomical numbers. I mean, when I got into the league, I think the highest paid guys were making like $10 million a year. Now you have guys making in the 30s, and it's when Patrick Mahomes' deal gets done, it's going to be $40 million. So, you know, these guys are getting paid a couple million dollars a game. If you break that down into how much value there is in each pass attempt and then put that into wins, how much impact does each pass attempt have going into a win? 1 to 2 more completions a game has a huge impact on the outcome of a game. That's why quarterbacks, every little detail matters. And now with technology and the ability for video playback and repeat and all that, you can do so much for a quarterback if you know what you're looking for. And I was just lucky enough that through Drew Brees and through some other avenues, I happened to walk through somebody's door, Tom House, who became my mentor back in 2013. I just happened to walk through his door, and he invited me on and said, I'll make you a deal. You bring everything you know about quarterbacking, and I'll teach you everything I know about throwing.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up here.
John, let's talk about Justin Herbert. You know all the things have been said about him as you're working with him now, the big arm, unlimited potential, inconsistent throws. Some of his leadership stuff's been in question. Some have called him an introvert. Now that you've been around him, are those the things you work on, and are all those things true that are being said about a guy, considering a lot of people don't know that much about him?
Well, I think that's just it, right? People, it's very easy to see his talent level. You know, there's always criticism of a player no matter what he accomplishes in college football. You know, you look at Joe Burrow. I'm just going to talk about Joe real quick. He had an unbelievable season. That doesn't take away the fact that people are going to criticize aspects of his game. And he had arguably the best college football season a quarterback has ever had. Well, now going back to Justin is one of the most talented throwers I've ever been around. Like we talked talked about earlier in the show, all of these quarterbacks are coming to us. Well, these are some of the best players in the NFL, and I can say Justin is absolutely one of the most talented throwers I've ever been around. Now, every player has things that they have to work on, and there's going to be things floating around about all types of stuff, but this I do know. Justin's teammates loved him up there at Oregon, and I've seen Justin display a ton of leadership qualities, great qualities, when I've been around him during this training time. He's extremely dedicated. He works to be the absolute best he can at everything he does. Are there things that he can do to improve accuracy, consistency, all those things? Absolutely. Like I said before, why do guys like Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, guys that have been to Pro Bowls, they're working on the same stuff. For Justin, as young as he is, as talented he is, and as dedicated he is, there's so many great things on the horizon for him.
John, how important is it, and you played the position in the NFL, how important is it to be a vocal leader as a quarterback? Because we do hear that a lot about, you know, Justin, or hear it about other quarterbacks that are the guys in the huddle, commanding the locker room. How important is that? Because that seems to be, like Joe said, one of Justin's biggest kind of flaws, as people point out. But to be a vocal leader in the NFL, how important is that?
Well, I think it's a flaw if that's what the coach wants a vocal leader. I know a ton of successful quarterbacks that aren't necessarily your rah-rah guys. I think a great key in leadership is you have to be who you are, but then you also have to understand what the team needs. And I think that's where sometimes guys can kind of step into an area saying, okay, I know I may not be the most vocal guy, but I know my team needs this, or I know that my players need to receive critical feedback, right? People always say, oh man, this quarterback, he jumps on his guys, or he rips them a new one if they mess up. Okay, well, maybe that's his personality type, but maybe also that quarterback understands that's what the team needs. And I think that as Justin grows and develops as a leader, that may be an area where he can say, okay, I can get better at giving what the team needs. Because, you know, is Justin maybe by nature a little bit more of a quiet, introverted person? Yes. But I also know that he does a lot of things. When you talk to his teammates, people don't get to see that side of Justin a lot, but his teammates know it. Can Justin bring those things to the table? Absolutely. But I think when I just look back at the leaders that I've been around, and then also the qualities I know what makes a good leader, you don't have to be that vocal guy all the time if that's not your nature. But if the team needs it, you absolutely need to have the skills to step in that area and bring it.
John, is Justin, one of the things I've heard is footwork from guys. Is that something, because he is so tall, that he's constantly got to work on his proper footwork before he throws it?
You know, the University of Oregon, they had specific footwork to what they did, and they ran primarily out of shotgun. So when you look at traditionally some of the stuff that the NFL has done over the years and what they kind of still utilize, those are just areas that he just is getting accustomed to. He didn't take any snaps under center. A lot of the rhythm stuff that they did during drop-back passing game was kind of built specifically for their offense. Well, there's going to be some things in the drop-back passing game, whether from under center or gun, that he has just had to practice because it's not something that they did at Oregon. So, like I said before, he's an extremely good athlete, and he picks up on things easily. And, you know, going to the Senior Bowl, he had to do all of those things in a matter of few weeks to get ready for the Senior Bowl that he had never done before. And I was there at the Senior Bowl, and the feedback was great. He did a great job. So I think no matter what he's asked to do, he's going to be able to do it. It's just giving him reps at it, because some of those things he just hasn't done in high school or in college.
John, does he hear all the things, and you brought it up, the higher you get picked, the more you're under a microscope and you get critiqued. How does he accept all that stuff that comes out with everybody trying to talk about Love and Herbert and Tua constantly? How's he handle all that stuff?
He has shades of perfectionism in himself. So when you look at criticism, I don't think anybody's going to be harder on themselves than Justin is. You know, those are some of the things that motivate him as an athlete. He expects a lot from himself. He puts a lot on himself, and think that that's a good quality to have. I think if you look at some of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, they're absolutely that way as well. How do they handle the criticism? They've been a critic of themselves their whole life because they're trying to push themselves to be better. I mean, this whole thing of people are going to be calling out the flaws or saying the area his game needs to improve, all of that's going to happen all the way up until the team picks him. And then when that happens, that team's going to give him things that he needs to work on. But he's always doing that for himself by nature. And then we've had many talks, and he's seen the quarterbacks that come to our place. I mean, we have a lot of guys that are Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, and they are like that always. Whether there's a crowd doing it or a team doing it or a media person doing it, it doesn't matter, because they're the ones that are pushing themselves. So I think that that's how Justin's going to handle it going forward. The things that are going to be new to him are going to be whatever city drafts him. He's a kid that grew up in Eugene, Oregon, played college at Eugene, Oregon. His first real true time away from college has been this draft experience. So I think for him, more of a thing than handling criticism, because he's handled a big stage at Oregon. He's handled criticism up to this point. It's going to be the adjustments of a new experience going to a city and being a rookie in the NFL. And for him, especially because the experience I went through, like, you know, getting drafted, it's a great experience. It's an awesome feeling to know you're being drafted by a team. And I absolutely loved and was so excited to be a Dolphin on draft day. I just, you know, I was pumped to know I was going to a place where Dan Marino was a guy I grew up watching. And I remember walking into the building and there's Bob Greasy's jersey and Dan Marino's jersey, and there's pictures of them littered through the place. And you're so excited because you want to be a great player there. Justin's going to have those same feelings whoever drafts him. I just want it to be an experience where the situation allows him to grow and develop as a player. And I say, seed in the NFL, you need a period of what's called launch. You need to have that takeoff time so then you can take off and grow as a player. But if that thing is hindered by coaching changes, by constant loss and by failure, and you never get to, boom, jump into that space where you really get to take off, NFL can be a tough, tough game. But hopefully he gets drafted to a place that allows him to grow and develop, mature as a player. And, hey, you got to handle failure. You got to handle criticism. You got to handle tough moments. But I think he's got that thing inside of him that's going to push through those hard times because he's very driven to succeed.
Well, John, I heard a lot of those things you were just saying. I just want to let you know, after 20 years, the Dolphins, we're cutting back on all that turnover stuff. I swear we are, man. We're trying to do better with that stuff and keep Coach Flores, who's done people are excited about. Now we obviously got to get the right young quarterback. What was his experience with the Dolphins? Did you hear anything with the Dolphins interview?
You know what? I have just bumped into a few Dolphin scouts and people, and I think that they're kind of being a little hush-hush on what goes on. You know, most of these teams that are sitting in a position where they could potentially draft a quarterback, they make sure they don't put a lot out there. You know, and I have a chance to talk with Justin, and he sounds as though things are going positive, but kind of the same thing. You never really know what some teams are thinking because they play their cards close to their chest, and I know they want it that way. And, you know, there's a lot of talented quarterbacks at the top of this draft, and if they go quarterback, you know, it'd be great to see him get Justin, because I think he's an absolutely talented player, you know, has the ability to achieve a lot of things. And if it is the Dolphins,
yeah,
you know, I cross my fingers that the organization is in a better place than when I got there.
It can't be worse. John, you were there the worst year. We were actually this morning laughing about, oh my gosh, John got Cam Cameron right off the bat, man. And you saw things. I can't even imagine what you saw coming out of BYU with the stability at BYU, and then you heard those veterans talking to that coach. I can't even imagine what was going through your mind. Like, the whole NFL just can't be like this, can it really?
You know, that's when I say the longer I was in the NFL, the more I was able to look back and just kind of say, man. You know, because here's the honest truth. When I was a rookie, I'm going through all those meetings and all that stuff, and I'm saying, okay, this must just be what the NFL is like. And then as the season goes, you know, some of the veterans like Trent Green, some other players, even Jason Taylor, or Zach Thomas would be like, look, John, this is not like, you know, like John, I've been in this league for X amount of years. I'm telling you, bro, like, you're getting the worst experience your rookie year. And like, one time I was on a field, this is a few years later, but I was with Steve Young, and it was before a Monday night game. I was with the Ravens, and he's like, man, John, he's like, I just look back on the way your career started. Like, in all honesty, like, it couldn't have gone worse for you. And I'm like, you know, I kind of knew that, but I didn't fully comprehend it until the later I played. But here's the other thing that's hard for a rookie. When Cam Cameron named me the starter, I believe we were like 0-9, and we were going to go play in Philly. And although it's like your first start, you almost feel like you take on all of the rest of that on your shoulders. Like, you take on, you know, the 0-9, and then all of a sudden we lose to Philly. We go play a Monday night game in the mud in Pittsburgh. And, you know, you almost feel like all of that has fallen on you, and you're trying to find a way to, like, help get this team out of a hole. But you're a rookie. You're just a rookie. And back then in the NFL, it's not like today. Nowadays, when somebody drafts somebody, they are thrusting them in a two spot or a one spot in camp. Back then, I was a second-round pick, but they sat me down and said, you're not going to play for 2 years. And this year, you're getting all of the threes reps. So in practice, I was just out there running with all the first year guys, and then all of a sudden, boom, week 9, hey, guess what?
You're starting.
You're now the starter. And you know, a lot of guys on the team were mad because they traded Wes Welker that year. They traded Chris Chambers during the season. Oh. They they had made some decisions that were more for like a building for the future. And then, you know, I think I played in like, what, four games. We go play in a snow game in Buffalo and they bring a blitz. I try to get the ball out fast. The ball slips out of my hands. Of course, that season, it couldn't just fall on the ground and us recover it. It had to be intercepted by the safety and returned for a touchdown. So that's where I say, you know, I look back and I tell all these young quarterbacks that I train, hey, guys, look, importantly than the number of spot you get drafted or the round you get drafted, it's the situation you get drafted to.
Right.
Because you need stability as a young player. You need help around you. You need a good situation. You need to be able to turn the ball and hand it to a running back and get some first downs without you having to drop back and play at a high, high level on every snap. Like, that's what you need as a young player. You need some help around you, because if you land in a bad situation and then they fire the whole building and then all of a sudden it's people that didn't pick you, I can tell you from experience, that is tough.
You're outstanding, man. It's been a long time. I miss our talks on the plane. It was great talking to you. Really appreciate you coming on this morning and talking to us, man.
Look, if Justin can be a Dolphin, the Dolphins, he's a great player. He's going to be an awesome player. You know, if he gets a chance to develop, I think there's great things on the horizon. And look, I'm not playing in the NFL anymore, but the Dolphins, man, that it really is a cool place. Like, the organization, even though they had their issues, there were great people that were a part of it, people I'm still friends with. I still have this little football from when I got drafted. The Dolphins gave my son this little football. You squeeze it, and it plays the Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.
Yes.
Look, it's a really cool That's organization. Cool. I'm always wishing the best for the Dolphins. And if they get Justin, on my end, I'll do everything I can to help that dude succeed.
He's not biased, but he likes Justin Herbert. Woo! Of course, you can download the podcast for this show, The Joe Rose Show, or any of the shows you hear on this radio station by going to WQAM.com, the radio.com app for free, or wherever you get your podcasts for absolutely free. Also on 560 The Joe, of course, you know Dan Le Batard. He makes an appearance weekdays from 10 to 1. Here's a taste.
Just give me, in general, the all-decade first team for the New York Knicks.
Ooh! That's 5 minutes away on the Best of the Joe Show. It's the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours, playing a little Bobby Brown, because on this day in 1993, Bobby Christina Brown was born, unfortunately passed away in 2015. Just kind of a little bit of remembrance for Bobby Christina Brown through her father, Bobby Brown. This is my favorite Bobby Brown song, by the way. My prerogative. It is always your prerogative to listen to the Dan Le Batard Show right here on 560 The Joe. Earlier today, they got Dan getting ready to reenact the Spike Lee situation, but with the Heat, and also they got a little bit of Knicks all-decade team.
Chris Cody says he wants me to, I don't even know what we would do with this, but Chris Cody says he wants me to reenact what Spike Lee did, like a character actor at the Miami Heat's arena.
Yes, I want you to try to go in. I'm sure you can go in any entrance, but if there's an entrance you're not allowed to go into, yeah, I want you to try to go into that entrance, and then when they try to stop you in security, start yelling the exact same thing Spike Lee did, and we get someone to videotape you from far away, and we just recreate the exact same thing with the exact same lines, and we put it on the internet. It'd be funny.
Dan is so not doing that.
No, I might do that.
Really?
I think that's funny. Well, first of all, I think I might do that for you, because it would, just for the joke, for the satire of it. I don't know if I could pull it off, because I'm not a very good paid actor.
Because locally, you're more famous than Spike Lee.
How does it work at Heat Games? You have a your own entrance, huh? Yeah. You don't walk
no,
in.
The way that it works at Heat Games.
It goes through the cargo entrance. Yeah.
You got to really take it
I
up
go
a
through
notch,
where
though.
The players come in.
Like, Dan, last week, Bad Bunny was just walking around on the court, spitting water all over the place. So, like, it seems like you can do whatever you want. Oh, wow. Yeah,
can you do that. With tequila?
I have done that with tequila. It just wasn't on purpose.
Hyde will get you, man.
I cannot get into any entrance at the arena. The security, it's one of the things that makes the Spike Lee story so funny. Like, you come in, like, there are all sorts of security concerns, no matter who the hell you are, about how the hell you get into one of these arenas. And you're supposed to go, like, I'll get stopped every time coming through an entrance where people don't know who I am.
I told you about the time I went there on Star Wars night. They made R2-D2 go through security. Swear to God.
But that's one of the reasons that I love this story so much, because Spike Lee is he is complaining on First Take about the general inconvenience of not being treated at all times like a celebrity. It's an amazing complaint to go to First Take with.
While saying he doesn't want special treatment.
You said that in the wrong voice. The idea that he wanted special treatment, laughable. So let's get to this all-decade team here. Which way do you want to do this here? Because we've been making fun of the Knicks here, and we're going to continue to make fun of the Knicks the entirety of the show.
Well, Chris is saying there is actually someone who put together an all-decade team for the Knicks, right? So someone has done this, someone with credibility, I guess?
It's SNY.
Okay.
And the starting lineup has all five positions. The honorable mention has two point guards, a small forward, a shooting guard, and a power forward. No center in the honorable mention. I just want to give you
all right, just hold on for a second here, because I want to figure out how to do this on air. So, Mike, when you were saying to Stugatz, because Stugatz was saying, I don't have a shooting guard, and you were saying it's obvious. We've already established Jeremy Lin somehow ended up for 2 weeks of basketball on the honorable. It's unbelievable.
Honorable mention.
The honorable mention
right.
team.
So this is something that we were actually laughing about before the show, and I tried my best to guess, and I nailed who the shooting guard was, but it's obvious, but also laughable.
I mean, don't give me too many clues. I still have it written down. I have a second-team shooting guard. I do not have a first-team shooting
guard.
Just
give us your first team.
You want the first team
right
now?
Well, no, I'd actually like the second. Give me the second-team shooting guard. Who is your second-team, all-decade Knicks team shooting guard?
I can't even pronounce his last name. Pablo Perjoni or something like that.
Wow.
He's on the team.
He is on the honorable mention. He's actually listed as point guard, but it doesn't
matter.
Are
you bleeping kidding me?
I'm talking about second team.
Yeah. That's stiff.
He was good. He was good for that year. His rookie year when he was like 36.
Wait a minute.
All the Knicks fans are like, man, if we only got this guy 8 years ago.
That is, oh my God, that's laughable. That's unbelievable that's on an all-decade honorable mention
Pablo
team.
Pablo Prigioni, eating your cookies.
He averaged 4.7 points per game for the Knicks.
You want to try to stay hot here? Who else you got on this honorable mention?
Well, so, Mike, who is the obvious shooting guard?
Well, I'm going to have to think about it for the first team to see if my first team matches up with Chris's first team.
But you don't have a shooting guard.
But I have another break to think about it here.
All right, so who's your first team shooting guard? Let's do it that way.
Well, I don't have it written down yet.
So you don't have any shooting guards in your entire
team? He was too busy perfecting the bit from the last segment.
Well, we have a definitive list, right? SMY. So I guess I have to try to match that list. I'll take a stab at it, right? And Billy will tell me if I'm right.
All right, so if you're just joining us, we were laughing at this stupid Spike Lee story and how First Take basically inflamed, with Spike Lee's help, inflamed a situation that is spectacularly stupid and that seems to be just a celebrity complaining for a whole lot of time about not being allowed secret extra access that the Knicks are saying no one would be allowed to partake in, and then just burying Spike Lee in a press release. I don't even know how you take another side on how can you defend Spike Lee after that press release. I know the Knicks don't have any credibility, and I know Knicks PR is a total nightmare, but when you beef with your lead fan that way, Stugatz, and you bury him, you're sitting there providing photographic evidence that he's not telling the truth.
Well, they're responding to Spike trying to bury them. I mean, that's what they were doing. They were defending themselves. I mean, that's it. I mean, Spike came on TV trying to bury the Knicks. It was very odd, very weird over how he enters a game.
So, Billy, let's do this then. What is, because we're making fun of the Knicks and because we love making fun of the Knicks, the all-decade team is something that we believe is even funnier than any of the other embarrassments.
Well, thankfully, Chris is back.
I'm back now. I can handle this. I'm Chris Cody, Fox Sports 1.
All right, let's go ahead and do this with Chris. Thank you for coming back. What do you have? So what is your, the center is, let's see, you want to start with the center?
So, Chris, they have a second team and a first team, right?
Correct.
All right, here's my second team. Did they do one or two coaches?
No coaches.
No coaches. I already mentioned that.
No, but we all agree it's Mike Woodson.
All right, so it's Mike Woodson. I had Mike Miller. It's been a heck of a run since he has taken over the Knicks.
They're playing harder.
They are playing well. All right, here is my second team, all Knick decade team, okay? I have Julius Randle at power forward. I'm starting in a weird spot.
This is his first season.
Julius Randle is not on the all-decade team?
Correct. He hasn't even been there a year.
He'll be on the next decade, all-decade team.
Last decade.
Oh, wait, 2020? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I just put Julius Randle. He started in 2019. I figured that was enough to get him on the all-decade team. He's not there. How about Tyson Chandler? He's my second team center.
Tyson Chandler is the first team center.
What?
God. There's no second team center for some reason. Just
right.
They just didn't have anyone who was second to Tyson Chandler.
Who would be their
the
second team center?
I don't know.
Well, I have Amari Stoudemire as their first team all-decade center. I put him at center, not power forward.
He seems to be the honorable mention big man. He's the only big man in the honorable mention. That's the weird one to me. I thought he would have been in the first team. He's on... the honorable mention.
He should be first team. I mean, that six-week period where he was the MVP of the NBA, I mean, it was glorious.
I mean, if Lynn can get honorable mention for 2 weeks, you think Amari can get first team for six?
Well, Lynn is my first team point guard. I mean, he is my point guard. He is my all-decade point guard. I am telling you, the 2 to 3 week span that we had with Jeremy Lin was the only bright spot this entire decade.
Do you want me to tell you who the starting point guard is?
Sure.
Raymond Felton.
Great.
He was on my second team.
was it the fat incarnation of Raymond Felton? Or?
Is there any other kind?
All right, my shooting guard was J.R. Smith. We discussed that. My small forward, this is the first team here, was Carmelo. That's obvious. Power forward was, I actually wrote Julius Randle and scratched it out and put Porzingis. He has to be it, right?
Correct.
And my center was Amari Stoudemire.
And we already said that.
Right.
So the starting lineup for the Knicks is Raymond Felton, J.R. Smith,
Carmelo Anthony. Hold on. Give me a moment. Allow me to gather myself. Because what we were talking about, among the embarrassments that the Knicks have had over the course of the last decade of irrelevant, whether it be Mike Woodson shaving his own eyebrows or kicking, we're not sure whether that was with the Atlanta Hawks or the New York Knicks, or kicking Charles Oakley out of a game, or what happened last week with some brand manager being on First Take and they sent out a press release saying he doesn't speak for us, whatever you view as the embarrassments about the New York Knicks.
Phil Jackson
falling asleep on a bus, Joakim Noah showing up at Phil Jackson's house and being signed. Whatever you think the embarrassments are, I am maintaining that the Knicks all-decade team is going to be funnier in terms of shame than any item I can put in front of you. Now, you already won, I feel like, by putting... how do you pronounce his name? Pergione? Pergione?
Yeah.
Pablo Pergione?
Yeah, 4 points per game.
That's staggering that he's actually on honorable mention.
There is
basically, we've already revealed three of the five on honorable mention. Jeremy Lin, Stoudemire, and Prigioni. The other two are worse than Prigioni, I think,
okay,
in my mind.
Well, then we will finish with that. Just give me, in general, the all-decade first team for the New York Knicks. Do it slowly so we can drink every person in.
At point guard, Raymond Felton. At the two guard, J.R. Smith. At small forward, Carmelo Anthony. Power forward, Kristaps Porzingis. And the center, your favorite and mine, Tyson Chandler.
Funny list.
Does that team make the playoffs?
No, not for a decade.
Want some more fun? How about a little getting to know you, getting to know all about you with Hawk and Crowder next on The Best of the Joe Show. This is The Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio that you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Without any further ado, you want to hear this, Hawk and Crowder, getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
I have had, over the last week or so, Jay Figg, Alejandro Solana, and Dan Day hand in some factoids about themselves. And what I will do is take some callers here. What do you think? Like, I want to get enough factoids out there. How many does the person have to get right? 3 out of 5? 4 out of 7?
Oh, 3 out of 5.
I think three out of five is good.
So we can get through a couple different callers.
3 out of 5, Solana? Because they're not easy, I don't think. Mm. I'll give you the factoid, and then you have to guess. Is it Solana? Is it Jay Figg? Is it Dan Day? I might make you, and you'll be able to help the. You haven't seen the factoids.
No.
So is it scared that I'm kind of nervous?
You should be. Everyone should be nervous because, I mean, like, we've done this before with ourselves,
yes.
And they're funny. All right, so let me take some callers here. And so, the first caller that gets 3 out of 5, are we in agreement? 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5 is good.
I like 5 out of 9.
Is that such a thing?
It is the
is it
majority
after
of
4
nine.
Out of 7, then yeah. 5 out of 9 is next?
Yeah.
I'm done at 4 out of 7. I can't get further than that.
Majority, you know, that's why it has to be an odd number. Never mind. Let's move on.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would do 4 out of 7. I think it would be more fun. Nah, we'll do 3 out of
3
5.
3 out of 5. Because then we can all get through more callers.
Well,
and opinions.
But the first person might get all 3 right, and then we're stuck.
Then do 4 out of 7.
We know how you do.
I don't know what that even means.
What does that mean?
We know how y'all do.
What does that mean?
If you don't know, now you know.
5 out of 9 still in play?
Is 5 out of 9 in play? Anyone? All right, we'll do 3 out of 5. This is for Panthers tickets Saturday night. Do we have any little music that we can just play in the background, spice it up a little bit? All right, here we go.
Okay.
Going to Dan in Davie. Are you there, Dan?
I am.
All right, so do you listen to this show on the regular?
Pretty regularly.
Okay, so, I mean, are you familiar with Solana and Jay Fig and Dan Day, or are you not very familiar with them?
I know who they are as far as when they're on the radio, but not too many facts about them.
Okay, and you shouldn't, by the way. If you did, you'd probably you'd be a stalker.
It'd be weird.
Yeah, it'd be weird. It would be weird. All right,
I got you, Dave.
So you understand, and you want to go to the Panthers game on Saturday night?
Always.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give you a factoid. You tell me if it is, and these are all true. You tell me if it's Alejandro Solana, Jen Figueroa, or Dan Day, okay?
All right.
All right. I once followed Rihanna on tour for 2 straight weeks. I once followed Rihanna on tour for 2 straight weeks.
I got to go with Figs on that one.
Yeah, Jay Fig would make sense on that one. That is, though, Dan Day.
Wow. What? Wow.
Now, how did that come about, Dan?
I went to a Rihanna concert, made some friends. They said they were going to follow the tour. I like the group of people, and went to Rihanna day after day after day.
I got to tell you, I've heard stories like this before where someone goes to a concert and they make friends at a concert and then they end up traveling the country with them. And I'm always like, who is that person? Like, I've heard that story.
It's Daniel Day.
It is Dan Day.
Man, those Rihanna fans, they know how to get down.
So what happened? You ended up at the concert by yourself?
No. I went with a couple of friends and just started talking to people. I was drunk and we just made friends and I had some time off and I said, let's do this. So we actually
looked shocked. Crowder.
Crowder's face?
This. I thought that was movie stuff.
Did you think right. It was me?
I would have guessed you.
Really?
I'm with you, Dan. I was going to pick
you. Yeah, I would have guessed you. All right.
I met him in Miami. I actually met him right here in Miami.
That's really? So great. Hey, it is a perfect Dan Day story.
Now, Rihanna's bad, but 2 weeks, Dan?
Perfect Dan Day story. All right. That is, so you're 0-1 right now, Dan. You got to get 3 out of 5, okay?
All right.
I signed up to drive for Uber. Now every time I'm in an Uber, I tell the driver I'm an Uber employee, but I have never actually driven anyone or completed a drive.
I'm going with Solana on that one.
Yeah, everyone in here
pointed at him. We all pointed.
Yeah, that is such a Solana thing to do. Why do you feel the need to do that, Solana?
It's an easy conversation starter. I love talking to Uber drivers, and I just tell them, yeah, I'm an Uber driver too.
He's one of those.
Also, so him.
Also, it's an easy way to get 5 stars.
But why do you care?
I have a great rating.
That is so, I mean, that is so him.
That's
I
so
can't
Solana.
Even begin to tell you.
And he called me an Uber last week, and he takes pride
right,
in having
right.
his app
well,
and
obviously
all.
He's very proud of the company that
he
works
text me,
for.
Hey, big man, you home yet? Leave me alone. you're weird with that Uber stuff.
All right, you got to guess. You've got 1 right and 1 wrong so far. If you get 3 right, Dan, you've got tickets for the Panthers game Saturday night. BB&T Center, they will retire Roberto Luongo's jersey. Here is your next factoid. I once attended a rave at the Acropolis in Athens, Greece. I once attended a rave at the Acropolis in Athens, Greece.
I feel like I got to go a day after that, after the Rihanna story.
That is indeed Dan. Crowder was pointing at Jay Fig.
I was pointing at Solana.
Jay Fig was pointing at Solana. Dan, how did you end up at a rave at the Acropolis?
I was in Athens, Greece, and they said they were having a rave.
What else needs to be said?
I was in
Athens, of course. How else would I end up at a rave at the Acropolis? I happened to be in Athens, Greece. So you were in Athens, Greece, ended up at a rave.
Yeah, someone asked if I wanted to go. I said, let's do this.
Right. Then people just ask you, do you want to move and go and travel? And you just, yep,
he's
jump in the car.
He's a man of few words.
You're going to get kidnapped.
All right, here we go. You've got
you know about
right.
that, Crowder.
So if
I once ended up in the trunk of a car being driven over state lines.
But everything was good. Everything ended up being good.
I befriended my kidnappers.
Crowder saw me almost get kidnapped at Funky Buddha the other day.
Oh, my God.
They tried to take him.
Dan Day can get into it. He can get into it.
Hanging out with him is just like these stories. This weird stuff happens to him.
All right, here you go. So you've got two right, Dan. If you get the next one right, you've got two tickets to the Panthers game Saturday night where they will retire Roberto Luongo's jersey. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I once snuck into a Drake concert. The staff thought I was part of the catering crew. I once snuck into a Drake concert. The staff thought I was a part of the catering crew.
Going with Figs.
Damn!
That is Jay Figg.
You got me.
Yeah.
Wow, that seems out of your wheelhouse, Jay Figg, because I feel you're a rule follower.
I feel
like your heart would be pounding sneaking into
a
concert.
The thing is that you can never underestimate me.
I guess
do
not.
Random stuff.
All right, fair enough. All right,
but
Dan.
You wore an apron?
No.
You just looked like a caterer.
That was weird enough. I was wearing.
I was dressed like Alice from the Brady Bunch.
What? I was not.
That's crazy. So you walked in, and where was it?
That AAA.
Oh, at the AAA?
Yeah.
And you walked in
Don't
as
pick
a
me out, please.
Catering department person.
That's
crazy.
Weird.
All right, Dan, you've got two tickets to the Florida Panthers game on Saturday at the BB&T Center. Make sure you get there early because they're asking for people to be in their seats by 5 o'clock so you can partake in the ceremony, all right?
Awesome.
All right, we're going to put you on hold, and Solana will get all your information shortly. You want another couple of factoids just as long as we're goofing around here?
Well, we got to play the game some more.
I mean, we can do it later on if you want for more prizes. Will we have more prizes? Do we have any more prizes right now?
That's pending, but we'll figure out some more prizes.
I enjoy this.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
It is actually pretty
learning
fun.
About things like touring with Rihanna for 2 weeks. Dan Day, like, and I know Solana's taking the winner. Put Dan Day's mic on for a second, Solana. Do you know a lot of Rihanna songs?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely a fan of Rihanna. I've seen her a couple times in concert. I mean, outside of the 2 weeks that I followed her around.
How does that transpire though? Like when is the invitation made? Hey, we're going to Atlanta next for Rihanna. Do you want? Like, you went in the car with these people?
Yeah, there were people. I was actually taking some vacation time, and it was here in Miami. I met some people sitting behind me from Fort Lauderdale, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to be following her. You guys should come. And I said, I got some time off from work, so we went and rode with them, and we went to a couple different cities, went up to Atlanta, Jacksonville, all that stuff, and went concert after concert. We partied before. We partied after the concerts. It was a good time.
He almost got me into this at Funky Buddha.
Where you just ended up randomly
we
somewhere.
Went to the Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival, me, Dan, and who the hell is Jarvis. And we're sitting there, and then, you know, we're talking, all three of us are talking to our own groups, and it gets to a point where Dan disappears, and he's in this circle of 9, like, 45, 50-year-old women, and he comes and tells us, hey, I'm going to ride with them. I'm like, where are y'all going? He's like,
them.
Yeah, man.
We're going to the Acropolis.
It's like, yeah, they're running down to another bar after this is over. I was like, no, Dan. We're going to kind of stick together tonight, big dog. Let's stay together.
Man. They had an extra seat.
Oh, my God.
Interesting dude.
You
could
have sat
right?
on his lap.
There's a great factoid. Crowder knows this one because I was giving Solana last week hell on this one. Solana, one of the facts that he wrote about himself was, I was detained at Islands of Adventure during my 8th grade band field trip for an obscene gesture on the Jurassic Park ride. What? And it's like, so I go, bro, do you even know what detained means? Because the way he wrote it was I was arrested,
yes.
Which is silly. And detained is silly as well.
I had handcuffs on.
You didn't have handcuffs on. You're telling me at Universal Studios.
And we know what he did. He
flipped
off
the bird.
The camera.
No, I didn't flip the bird.
What'd you do? You showed your wiener? You flashed your wiener on the Jurassic Park ride?
The finger lickies.
Like, I mean, what'd you do?
It was the
finger lick.
The peace sign with a little tongue action going in between.
Okay, so you made
putting him in
jail.
So
go up that. On Jurassic Park, you get off the ride, they throw you in handcuffs.
Book him, Dano.
I mean, come on.
Did he supply himself with the handcuffs?
I mean,
it's not ridiculous. It's not laughable. It's what happened.
Bro.
You know the white handcuffs?
Bro. You're talking about the cable wraps.
Right, the cable wraps. We got put in cable wraps.
Lie. That's a lie. It's a flat out lie.
They're basically zip ties.
It's a flat out lie. Like, yeah, they're zip ties. Yeah.
Exactly. They're like zip ties. And I remember the guy's name and everything. Bob.
So they thought you were a danger to the other riders because you went.
Weighed 300 pounds.
They thought you were a danger.
Here's what happened. Somebody on that ride, I remember, it was a Venezuelan couple with like a 5-year-old daughter. They wanted to buy the picture. And we had been on that ride multiple times that day, and nobody had said anything. We had done the same gesture on every ride. The Venezuelan couple, awesome couple, wanted to buy the damn picture. Awesome and because couple. Of that, they call the security because they're losing out on money.
You're my dude thing. Awesome couple.
Yeah. Let's just blurt it out.
Solana.
No, they were
just
great.
Think about
they
the concept.
Great. We had a great time together on the ride.
Solana.
A 300-pound Island of Adventure security guard has the authority to zip tie teenage wrists.
Yes, and here's why. Here's why.
And he told his superiors because you went blah, 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 blah with your fingers.
Here's why.
Come on.
He thought that we were going to run away, which makes sense. You're in a park with thousands of people or kids.
Bro,
and he can't move more than 3 miles per hour.
And you can run away. You didn't do anything that's worthy of being detained.
Because when they called us over, we thought, like,
are you the guys that went, blah, 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 blah. We've got photographic proof.
They know what happens at band camp.
You're lucky it didn't go to trial.
I cannot wait for another rendition of Getting to Know You on the Hawk and Crowder Show. I also can't wait for another rendition of the Best of the Joe Show, but that's going to have to wait until tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here on 560 The Joe. Later, slug.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.